Isn't it wonderful just to sit around and listen to the music playing and letting those songs, those hymns go through your heart and your mind and thinking about the grace of God. Sing about them little songs there. You know, one of them she's playing, I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Oh my, I'll cherish it, old rugged cross. Amen. Even more so, cherish the one that hung on that old cross, that died for me, bore my shame. Oh, he's so wonderful.
Amen.
Praise his name. Let us all stand. Amen. I don't know who's going to take the song service, but let's see, Brother Kevin, okay, Brother Josh. But Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you've blessed us to be here this evening.
Yes,
dear. And so thankful, Lord, that these little hymns, oh God, how they just touch our heart. Way down deep inside. Oh, there's such a love in our heart for you, Lord. And we realize it's all through the grace of God. And Father, when we think of all the goodness of Jesus, all you've done for us, all our soul cries out, hallelujah. We count it a great privilege to be here tonight. We ask that you would bless us, open our understanding to the Word of God, and bless the brother that's going to bring the Word. Make it easy for him, Lord, and open our hearts to receive. That, Lord Jesus, we receive our instructions when we come here in this little place. And we want to make sure that every instruction is exactly what you give, Lord. That you can lead us and guide us into all righteousness. And Lord, that you can have the preeminence in our lives. So we ask now that you would bless us. And as we come to sing these little songs and hymns this evening, bless Brother Josh, Lord, and make it easy for him. And oh God, may we all flow right in the Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, just have your way.
Yes.
We serve a great God.
Amen.
We serve a loving God.
Yes.
We serve a God of mercy and grace. And how we appreciate you so very much. So just have your way now as we commit ourselves to you. In your lovely, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's sing a little chorus. I cherish the old rugged cross as Brother Josh comes. Amen. And I cherish thee on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross.
seat if you like. Amen. Let's turn to page 308 in your big books there. Amen. The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my path. So remind me, page 399 in your big books there. My heart keeps me when I pause to remember. It's but a stepping stone.
Thank you.
Trust in Him and He'll lead you all the way through. Yes. Amen. Brother Hampton, would you like to take up the offering tonight? So wonderful. I know the Master of the Wind. I love that little chorus. I know the Master of the Wind.
Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for this opportunity. Lord, that we could present our needs to You and know that You are the Master of the Wind. You're the great physician. You are the great I Am, the truth, the light, and the way. And Father, it's so good to know You, for to know You is life eternal. Oh God, we just ask that You would just reach down into every heart tonight. And Father, first give us the faith, the revelation, to accept every promise You've given us. For Lord, we cry out for revelation more than anything else in this life. That is the most important thing in our lives. And Lord, we ask that You would give us revelation, the Word of God. That every time it comes across this pulpit, Lord, every time we pick up a message, every time we listen to one, Lord, the revelation will be pulsating. Oh, God, by the Holy Ghost down on the inside of our heart, that, Lord, will be living manifestations that Jesus Christ is alive. And, Father, we ask that You would do that for us. Oh, God, for without faith, It is impossible to please you. And that's why we come asking in tonight, Lord, as our brother comes forth to bring the word, we ask for revelation. Lord, don't let it just be words in our hearts, but let it be a living reality, a living a revelation coming forth, Lord, as the word comes forth. Oh, grant that, Father. And Father, anything else that's in our lives, if there's sicknesses, whatever it may be, maybe financial needs, maybe it's some other kind of need that we would know nothing about, but you know all about it. For you know all things, Lord Jesus. And it's so good that you do. We're so thankful for that. We ask that you would meet every need now, Lord. And may each one of us reach out by faith and accept, Lord, the promises that you've given to us, knowing, Father, they belong to us by the grace and mercy of God. Thank you now, Father. We appreciate it. And Father, just have the remainder of the service in your hands and your control, and everything be done now for your glory and honor. In your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You may be seated if you like. Amen. Anybody got a song on their heart tonight they want to sing or like to sing together? Anybody?
Water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I long to worship thee.
That's such a precious desire to have. Amen. To worship and to praise the Almighty King. Amen. The mighty God. Oh, it's such a wonderful desire to have.
Amen.
Not just to stand around, just to sing a song, but something come pulsating out of your heart.
Amen.
That you're enjoying. Amen. To love and worship the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. For He is the King of Kings. Amen. I love Him. Amen. Amen. He's so precious. Is that in your heart?
Amen.
It ought to be.
Amen.
You ought to just can't wait to worship Him and love Him.
Amen.
And if you're that way, you'll find yourself through the day singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Glory. Do you do that?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my. If you really love Him, you will.
Yes.
You will. Amen. Let's sing our little chorus. I love Him. As our precious brother Timothy comes this evening to bring the message. Amen. I love Him.
So thankful to be here this evening. And Lord, we just appreciate You for all that You are doing, have done for us. Lord, we appreciate Your spirit we feel in Your presence. And Lord, we've just gathered here tonight to let You have Your way and to speak to our hearts, Lord. And Father, we just pray that You'll take these simple words You've laid upon my heart, Lord, and just use my lips to be a mouthpiece that, Lord, in some way it would do a work for someone in their heart and in their life, Lord, me included. Lord, that we would draw closer to You, be more of a people that would be pleasing to You in all that we do and say. And Lord, we just through it all want to see that You receive all the glory and the honor that's due unto You. And we ask it in the blessed, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen. Don't you love Him?
Amen.
I know you get asked that a lot. But oh, we ought to truly love Him.
Amen.
You know, He's just so precious to us. He's so good to us. And I'm not going to hold you real long tonight. Just got a little thought on my heart. Maybe more for the younger ones, but I believe us older ones can check ours as well.
Amen.
And just, you know, you see the Holy Spirit moving in the way that it does. And even the message this morning, how precious God is to us and how we truly should be thankful for everything that God's doing in this hour, in this late hour that we see. And we've been left with a precious word of God to us and all of the examples that lay within this Bible. And all the examples that lay within the prophet's message was left here for our admonition, to give us guidance and leadership as we travel this road. And each one of us should really take heed to what's in these pages and weigh up to ourselves, not keep looking to someone else, what someone else doing, how somebody else handling this situation. But we each should look to the Word of God because it's an individual affair.
Amen.
And God's not coming back for a group of people as far as a church building. But He's coming back for a bride, and we want to make sure that I'm in that bride. I'm one of them that's going to be caught up to meet Him. But if you want to turn your Bibles to Luke, the 12th chapter and the 34th verse, and then you can be seated. Just a little thought was on my heart, and actually the Lord kind of laid this on my heart during the week and just been thinking about it. And there's a lot that goes with it, and you could preach a long time on it, but I just want to catch a little thought here and pray that the Lord will use it to help us. Amen. But Luke, the 12th chapter and the 34th verse. Nothing new. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. May the Lord add the reading, blessings, readings, word, and you may be seated. But you know, we're living in an age where there's much treasure anymore. And you may say, well, I ain't got no treasure. But everything in life, the smallest thing can become a treasure to you. As our brother has mentioned in ministering over the last couple weeks, I think he even mentioned it, of God being first in our lives and things. And I was just thinking about this, and our pastor actually just read this a couple services ago, but if you want to turn to Mark, the 10th chapter, and read this little piece about the rich young ruler, and just want to think about this tonight, you know, as we look at the situation that was given here, and Brother Branham mentioned this a lot in the message investment, and he preached investments quite frequently for the businessmen breakfast. But this, let's just start here at the 17th verse of the 10th chapter, book of Mark. And he said, when he was gone forth into the way, there come one running, and kneeled down to him and asking, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. And thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these I have observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at this saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And you know, we see this young man here. He came, he was thirsting. He was very religious, Brother Branham said. And just, I want you to think and put ourselves in this young man's category tonight. We all gather here religiously. And we all come through that door, young, old, middle-aged. We all come in here with one question on our heart and one prayer. Lord, what do I have need of? And every time we come in, that should be the desire of our heart. And that's what this young man was doing. He could look at the religious side of what he was supposed to be doing, and he could see that he was keeping all that he knew to keep and could keep, but yet he saw something in Jesus that he knew he didn't have. And he saw something he needed, and he asked, and he come asking, what must I do to inherit? And Jesus, looking down, he seen his need. He saw where his treasure was, and his treasure was money. And Jesus looked down and he saw that treasure in his life, and that's the one thing he pulled out. Get rid of this and come follow me. And tonight, we each one may have a different treasure. We might gather here and there may be something that's hindering us. And without the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, our coming in here and listening to this word is of naught. And that's why our pastor has put so much stress that we must be born again. It's not just a question of, I want to be, I hear everybody tell me I should be, but I must. And the scripture says a man must be born again. And that's the importance of it. For without being born again, I have no teacher on the inside. I have nothing to bring back to my remembrance this precious word that's been left here on printed page. But yet God, looking down into our hearts as we gather in here every time and we come in and we're asking, Lord, what do I have need of? And the Holy Spirit moves upon the ministry's heart and he gives the ministry a message to bring. And that message may come and it may be totally contrary to your popular belief, how you feel in yourself about a certain thing. But the word comes, and then I wonder if we are often like this young man and we kind of go out a little bit grieved because it's not just the way I wanted it to be. And you know, oftentimes there's things in this world that we want to hang on to. Especially as young people, you know, I remember being young. And, you know, I never was a young person when I was growing up. I loved to play basketball and football and things. But the sports never attracted me. I wasn't attracted to that. But I loved to deer hunt and I loved to fish. And I can remember, and you just got to be honest. But I can remember being young, 12, 13 years old, sitting in service and our brothers preaching that the Lord was coming. And in my mind, I was thinking, Lord, don't come till after deer season. And that sounds childish, and it was. But that was my thoughts. Lord, I want to do this in my life. I want to accomplish this before you come, but I want to go home with you, Lord. And that's oftentimes how we
we look at things. Lord, don't come yet. I got this I want to get done over here. And Lord, I want to go do this. And Lord, I'd like to see this happen in my life. Maybe I'm a young man. Maybe I'm a married. Wherever I fall in life. But yet there's something that I'm wanting to achieve before the Lord comes. Lord, don't hold off, Lord. Let me do this. But that wasn't what Jesus said. He said, sell what thou hast. Take up your cross and follow me. And that's all he said. He didn't explain it. And he turned and he walked away. To take up your cross. And when he went to every disciple, that's what he said. He said, come, follow me. And he didn't give them an option. And he didn't wait to see if they was going to come. He just went. Because he predestinated the people to follow him. But we must realize God is waiting on us. We're not waiting on him. And he's looking and he's sending his precious word out. And it's searching our hearts and it's searching our life. But am I holding on to something in this life that I know the word speaks against it? And maybe I'm a young person and maybe my mom and dad has tried to show me the right way. And they show me what the scripture says about a certain thing. And what Brother Branham said. But in myself, I still want this thing. And mommy and daddy can't take that out of your heart. But only God can. And that's the treasure that will hinder you from following all that God has for you. But you've got to come and realize that he said, each one of us, he's got something greater in store for us. But you know, oftentimes how in this natural life, as Brother Brandon preached investments and he was speaking to the businessmen, we'll invest so much time in things in this life. You know, it was in the scripture, we buy a piece of property. And oh, we must get it ready. We must put all of our time and our effort into this to get it to whatever I need it for. Whether I'm going to build a house on it or whether I'm going to produce crops on it or whatever. Maybe I'm going to cut the timber and sell the timber, but I'll invest all my time and effort in that because it's going to be a return to me. And I'll just put so much effort in it. Or maybe I'm a yard seller and I'll go to yard sales and buy and buy and buy, knowing that I can buy that thing for 10 cents and sell it for 15 cents and make an investment. And that can become something that can drive a person. Some people, that's all they live for, is to buy and sell antiques. And that becomes an investment to them, but they're investing their life into those type things. But what Jesus was talking about here and what we're talking about tonight is investing our soul in salvation and knowing that without a shadow of a doubt, I am one of them that's going to leave this earth when that last trumpet sounds. And you know, oftentimes it sounds like a fairy tale. And we've heard it all of our life. Some of us, I'm 37, and I've been in this message ever since I was born. I've been around it. I've heard about it. I knew about it. And I've heard the Lord is coming. And all of us have heard that. And sometimes our ears get dull of hearing, yeah, we know the Lord's coming. But Brother Brandon said we still plant our taters and keep on going. And that's true. We must live and maintain life. But where is our heart's treasure truly laying? Is it laying in this life, or is it laying in our goal that we were sent, our purpose for which we were sent? But that's where we're tonight, as the word has been coming. And that's what the message people have lost. They've lost sight of their goal, where they was headed. And they've become content to live in this life and keep their possessions. And that's why they don't want the correction of the word. Don't tell me what I need. Amen. Just let me alone. I'm fine. And they go away grieved when you tell them what they really need. Amen. But here we stand tonight. The word's coming, giving us an opportunity. The Lord is so graciously presenting his word to us, saying, here, son, this is what you need. This is what you can do for you. And oftentimes, growing up, we've seen it in the past. Maybe I'm a young person. And maybe I hear about the message, and I hear about being a Christian. But don't ever focus your eyes in on certain people and say, well, so-and-so is still doing this. I'm going to do that. Sometimes that was the biggest mistake we made growing up, is we looked and we saw so-and-so do it. Oh, it's okay for us to do that. It's okay for me to do this, so-and-so does it. But focus into the word for you as an individual and ask God to speak to your heart. It's an individual affair. You know, I went to church with my mom and dad growing up. And they done the best they could to show me what was right and what was wrong and to guide me in the way that I should go. But it still took Jesus Christ to make the change in my life that turned me to what I am. And I still got overcoming. I've still got higher heights to climb. But by God's grace, I'm going to get there because he turned my direction. Amen. And my wife can tell you the first 5 years we were married were horrible for her. They were bitter. They was rough because I didn't have what I needed. And I wasn't mature. And I was just going through life living it for my own pleasure and what I wanted and what I felt I could achieve in myself. But God changes your outlook on life, and it changes your the way you view things. You know, the world puts so much focus. You've got to go to school. You need an education. You ought to get an education. Oh, you need to be this so you can do that and make this much money a year, and you need all of this. And they put so much focus on that, but none of us have a guarantee of being here tomorrow to reap anything. We don't know what tomorrow holds for any of us, but today we know we have an opportunity. And if God has graciously laid this word in my path and give me an opportunity to accept it, how gracious I should be and thank the Lord and cry out that He would place within my heart the full burning desire to be exactly what He wants me to be in this hour. You know, and this young man seen that, and he wanted it, but the price was too great for him. But I wonder if us as individuals, if we can see our need and buckle down and say, Lord, it's your will, not mine. And I'd just like to read here, this is in the Message Investments, I want to read the way Brother Branham said it, January 26, 1963, paragraph 60. And he's talking about this rich young Lord. He said, this young fellow that we're speaking about, this young businessman, he was given an opportunity to make an investment in one of the greatest businesses that he could invest in. He was given an opportunity to follow Jesus Christ, and what a ridiculous thing that he did. What a rational thing, this young man. Fellow given a type of an opportunity to invest his soul and his money, whatever he had, in the kingdom of God, and he turned it down flatly. And we look at him this morning as this young businessman. And he says, see, he was a very poor businessman, but you couldn't have told him. Jesus couldn't tell him any better. See, the word of God, when Jesus speaks, it's all truth, and it doesn't have to be explained. God just speaks the truth, and he don't have to go around like we do and try to explain it. That's all there is to it. He says, follow me, that's all. He didn't have to tell him why and explain it all like I do and other people do. But his words were all truth. And we don't have to go around with it and just say, he said, follow me, and that settles it. And he had an invitation to make an investment in Jesus Christ. And that's the person I'm speaking about this morning. The investment that I want you to make if you haven't made it. But the rich young fellow, the teenager of his day, had probably an heir to a lot of money. And which that's all right. There's nothing against that. And I'll be thankful for any man or anybody that's been given that privilege. But what I have against this fellow, being a businessman, did you notice he asked for eternal life? That was his business proposition. What must I do now to have eternal life? And Jesus told him exactly what to do, but he wasn't interested. Because the thing that he had to do to have eternal life. Now, we look on that, we Pentecostal people, and think that man was out of his mind not to do a thing. But let's take it down home for a few minutes, see? There was something went with it. He was asked about the commandments. He said, this I've done since my youth. And how often we can say, I've followed this message faithfully. I've went to church every Sunday. I'm in church every Thursday night. I pay my tithes. I pay my offerings. I'm doing all I can for the kingdom of God. But that's not enough. That's just a beginning. That's just something you're doing. But when God is asking of is so much greater. He says, probably raised in a good Orthodox home where it was raised up not to steal, lie, or cheat, or commit adultery. Maybe the boy wasn't a cheater. The boy wasn't a liar. He'd been raised with good parents. Somebody had taught him that there was a God and that God could bring him to judgment someday and he'd have to give an account for all that he did. Yes. And that teaching, his parents maybe stuck with him and he knew that there was a God. But now it comes a time where he got to personally meet this God and he got to meet this person. And he was asked what? He asked, what could we do to have eternal life? And Jesus told him what to do. But he wasn't interested in that kind of an investment because it took away the things that he held so dear. And you say that man had money and it was taken from him because the money, rather, Jesus was taking it because that was his earthly possessions. Jesus could see that was the thing that meant the most to him. And you know, growing up, if you're something you really don't like, and mom and dad comes in and says, hey, we're not doing this anymore, it's pretty easy to let that thing go. But have something you really like to do and have your parents come in and tell you, you can't do that anymore. And you watch old Satan get in there and begin to work and try to tear you up and get you all worked up and get you in a stew over that thing. But Jesus knows he don't want anything that would be more important to him than he would be in our life. And he knows where we're at. He knows what's in our life that we hold so dear. Whether it be a hunting trip, a fishing trip, anything. Those things you say, well, there ain't nothing wrong with hunting and fishing, but it can be if you put it before God. And I did in my younger days. That meant more to me than anything. You know, you and saints, we've seen it. People would miss church over hunting, chasing a deer through the woods. And how foolish we were to realize that God placed us here to serve Him. And how we let a temporal thing maybe cause us to miss the thing God's trying to show us. Amen. And I'm just using that for an example because that was something I can relate to. That was me. That was my experience. You know, if somebody would have told me that if I would stay in a tree and maybe I could have shot this monster buck, I would have done it in my younger days. I would have missed church. Oh, it's okay. There'll be another service. I'll get there. But God's calling us. And we see the time, signs of the time, and we see the lateness of the hour. We don't have time to wait. It's now. God could come tonight. He could come in the morning. Or nevertheless, there's many young people, old people, middle-aged people that leave this earth every day without a warning, just gone. And that might be my day tomorrow, but when that last trumpet sounds or my last breath leaves, where was my desires and my heart's desire? Was it fully to be all He wanted me to be? Or does fellowship mean more to me? You know, I often stop and think I have two natural brothers that don't fellowship with us. And you know, I often stop and think, you know, of our situation. And you know, you can look at it and say, well, it'd just be as easy just to walk back over there. Y'all believe the same thing. You know, you're saved. Go back in there and just agree with them and fellowship with them. You have your fellowship back. But that ain't what God's word said. He said, if you can't hate father, mother, brother, sister for my sake, you're not worthy of it. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Now that's a situation where we have took a stand. And right now, those two won't fellowship with me because I left their faith. But what if they come out of there tomorrow and want fellowship, but they don't want to accept that this is truth today? Where do I stand? Where do you stand? And now we're all faced with this situation today of, will I stand for the word or will I compromise? Because, well, now I can have fellowship, so I'm going to compromise on the word just a little bit so I can have fellowship. But no, that's God knows where our heart lays. He knows. Maybe some of us have to walk a rough road, maybe. Maybe God has to drag us through. Maybe some of us have to leave family behind. Some of us may have to leave a wife behind. Whatever. But God knows what means more to you, and He knows He'll take it from you. But we're here to serve God, not to serve man. Amen. Not to serve a church or a creed or a doctrine. But we're here to serve what God has set forth in this last day through the prophet of this age, what He brought back to our remembrance and tied all these loose ends. Yes. And as many brothers are starting to say, doctrine doesn't matter. But they failed to see it's not just a doctrine anymore. It's thus saith the Lord. Amen. God spoke in this day. It's not up to me and you to say it's a doctrine. I don't believe it this way. I don't believe it. But God said it was this way, and none of us have a say in the matter. We must take it the way He said it and stand with it. And if no one wants to walk with us, I'm sorry, but this is the way God said it would be in this day. And as an individual, we must stand on that. Not as a group, not lean on my husband, lean on my wife, lean on my pastor, but as individuals, we must take that stand. I believe this because our pastor teaches it that way. Hogwarts, get rid of those ideas. You believe it that way because God said it that way. We don't lean upon our own understanding anymore. We served in churches for years, and that was always, well, brother so-and-so teaches it this way. That's the way I believe it. Stand on your own two feet and say, God revealed it to me. This is why I believe it the way I believe it. And quit leaning upon people. Amen. God is calling for a people that can stand. You know, I was thinking, just a thought, but when our brother was preaching Thursday night and he was talking about the false anointed raising up with signs and wonders, it's going to happen. Amen. That's scripture, and it will be fulfilled. Amen. But it's also scripture, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. And that's going to happen as well. Amen. But by God's grace, it may not be in the manner that the human carnal mind thinks about it. But God's going to have a people that'll have the life plus those gifts operating in their life. They won't need hands laid on them. They won't need prayer lines so for some man to get glory. But it'll be God that gets the glory because it'll be God doing it in their hearts and life. But we've got to get back to what we stand for, what we believe. We're not just following a church. We're not just following a message. But God said, come and follow me. And that was the call. Oh my, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is our treasure truly laid up on things above, or do we still got our earthly vision so clouded we can't see? Oh, how our services ought to be the moving of the Holy Spirit more. Amen. And worship more. And oh my, when our brother can say that somebody got a song, there ought to be bubbling within. There ought to be somebody in the spirit enough to say, yes, I got a course on my heart. Oh my, it ought to just boil out from the inside. We're not a dead church. We serve a living God, and we ought to be a living people that is alive with the results. Not going away grieved. Boy, I got chewed on this morning. I don't know. Every Sunday, it seems like it's words coming right down my line. That's right. It's cleaning us up. It's scourged, getting rid of the greenness. Amen. We're growing up. We're becoming adults. There's people in the message churches. One sets on this side, one sets on that side, and they got bitterness in their heart and won't speak to each other. That shouldn't be once named among us. It ought to be just sweetness and holiness and the moving of the Holy Spirit, the unity of the faith. But that's got to come from the individuals, and it's got to be an individual affair, and it's got to mean that much to you as an individual. That we're here to serve God.
Amen.
You know, see so much go on in this days. And now, it's good. We got to get people to Christ. But you can only get them through there, through thus saith the Lord. And that we have is thus saith the word in this age. Amen. You know, I was reading where Brother Branham said Jesus didn't write one thing when he was here on earth. Except one time he wrote in the sand and he wiped it out. And Brother Branham said he didn't have to write one thing because he was the word in flesh. Oh my, it was a written epistle. He was the original written epistle. And we're to be in his likeness. Amen. Identical. Amen. Here in the message, this is Investments preached in November 1663. Page 8, paragraph 56. He didn't ask Jesus, what can I do? Can I might join your church? What might I do that I'll become a member? But he said, what can I do to have eternal life? And yet, being a member of a religious body, yet the young man was sensible enough to know that he lacked eternal life. And there is only one form of eternal life. And saints, by God's grace, I don't know how much longer we'll be on this earth, but if you'll become a true light that people can see Jesus in, there is going to be people in message churches that can say, I'm following a religious order, but you've got something I don't have.
Amen.
They will see it in your life.
Hallelujah.
And that's the time. Be salty, because the salt can only do as it touches. Amen. And he says here, he says there was one form. The young man was sensible enough to know he lacked eternal life, and there's only one form of eternal life, and we strive for that. And he was given that opportunity to receive it, and when he asked, because it's written, ask and you shall receive, and it was presented to him, but yet he was foolish enough to turn down because the price was too great. And as a Christian traveling the world, I find the same desire in so many people's hearts today. As my wife used to say, you want to eat your cake and keep it too. You just can't do that. You can't hold the love of the world and to God at the same time, for you cannot love God and mammon, which means the world. And if you love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father isn't in you. But so many people like to say, I belong to so-and-so, but that's not the question. That's not the policy I'm talking about this morning. And saints, each and every one of us, young, old, middle-aged, we may come here and listen to the word, but we're not the member of just the Capstone Life Tabernacle. But we've got to be a delegate sent from heaven. We've got to have that life living in us fully, in its fullness, manifesting and dwelling.
Amen.
But here is the, over here on page 15. Amen. Paragraph 101. He's going to speak about Noah here for a minute. He says, there was a man one time who was offered this policy, and he was a farmer. And the Lord God met him with his word and said, there's going to be a flood that's going to destroy the whole world. And you're going to act very funny now if you want to receive this policy. And oh, how the Holy Spirit will make you act funny.
Mm-hmm.
It'll make you do things you wouldn't used to do.
Yeah.
It'll give you the backbone to stand and say, I don't do those things because I don't think it's pleasing to the Lord.
Right.
Not because mommy and daddy don't want me to. And that's the way we was a lot of times growing up. We blamed it on, mom and dad says I can't do that, so that's why I don't do it. But we didn't have a revelation. We didn't have an understanding. But get a new birth and oh, and you'll understand. And that's why we must cry out for a new birth. Not just to have chills or jump and shake in the spirit, but to truly get a new birth down on the inside that makes this word come alive to me. Makes it real to me. That it's my revelation. And God will deal with us as individuals and make it come alive. He says there's going, and if you want to receive this policy, he says you're going to act very funny now if you want to receive this policy, but it'll save your life. I want you to build an ark. It was Noah. And although the rest of the religious world in that day thought that old man was crazy, it certainly didn't meet the scientific order of the day. Because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, a world like that, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, when the policy has so many names wrote on it, and he is up there redeeming this morning all of those who will have their name on that book. And now after a while, the last name is going on, and that will finish it. Come on in now, my brother, and don't wait. After a while, it might be too late. Come now while you have the opportunity, while it's offered to you. And we find that Noah made this investment, was a very popular farmer, and probably knew many people, had great things, but he sold out maybe his farm to get the material to build the ark. And people laughed at him. Satan caused that. He might have been called a holy roller. And Noah, and he says, one stated this morning, he became a holy roller when he found out and signed his name in the blood of the Lord Jesus that he wanted to hold this policy. And he, Noah, did the same thing. He got rid of what he had to build an ark, laughed at, tried by Satan, but we find out his policy paid off in saving his life, and not only his life, but of his house also. Amen. And saints, that's what we need today. We may come to church, but do we know for sure that I've been sealed till the day of redemption? Do I know that I hold the policy in my hand? Do I know that my treasures are laid up in glory, not here on this earth? Have I truly sold out to be this? Or is there still things that, oh, this means more to me. I don't want to let go of that. I want to get this done. I want to do that, this and that. But as each one, young, middle-aged, and old, may we truly focus our attention in greater, that God has called us here for a purpose, to be a people that will truly sell out and be all. We won't be a people that go away grieved. We won't be a people that can't live for him, but we'll be a people that will be a light in this last day in an hour when gross darkness is swallowing people up. But there will be one, two, three, maybe five in here that'll have a true light shining. But we must be determined to be one of them. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments. But saints, there's so much in this life that tries to draw us away. And we must always remember there's only two spirits in this universe. God's spirit and Satan's spirit. And you can look and see and ask yourself, the thing that I'm about to partake of, is it of God or is this of Satan? Who's going to get the glory from what I'm doing? Who's going to receive praise from what I'm doing? And weigh it with Christ. But oh my, you know, oftentimes when you walk this way, there's many, they turn your back on you. They think you go too far. That's, you're wrong in believing that way. You shouldn't hold that serious. It don't matter. But you know, and oftentimes it's quoted and I've heard it said, you know, as Brother Branham said, he was only obligated to preach this message. He's not obligated to make you live it, that's true. And it's what he said, but he did cry out time and time again. He just didn't bring it once about bobbed-haired women. He kept on and he kept on. Every time he ministered, you can go through about all those messages and see him calling out against slacks and the things. And that precious Holy Spirit's not going to let things go on that's contrary to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit of God himself is in the building moving, do you think he's just going to let it go on without mentioning it? No. He's here. He's here in realness. But oftentimes we forget. We just think, oh, we're just come to church. We're just here. But God is here with us. Amen. I know he's here. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Hallelujah. I pray somehow it'll help you, strengthen you some way. But you know, saints, we must press on ever greater and make sure that we don't let anything of this world hinder us. Nothing blocking our view. Something drawing my attention greater. You know, it's so great what God can do. And I pray that he will continue to deal with our hearts. And I pray for our young people, all of them, that God will continue to move with them. You know, I've seen in the past, and I often tell people when where we used to go, us young people looked mighty fine when we went to church. We all had nice hair and belts on and shirts tucked in. And boy, we was all cleaned up and we looked wonderful on the outside. But what we really needed on the inside was lacking. And oftentimes we was misled to just thinking it was a matter of just making a statement. It'll be all right. Make a statement. We'll let you sing. Make a statement. We'll let you do this. We'll let you go there. There's more to serving God than that. Amen. And let's forget our old ideas. Forget things you've heard and the way we was taught in things, but go back to the Word and search it. If there's one thing in your mind that maybe I remember hearing this, and that's the way my daddy did it, that's the way my mommy did it, I was raised like this, boys were better than girls were better than boys, get rid of those carnal things. Oh, my, go back to the Word and see how God said it. Amen. See how God put it down the line.
Amen.
Oh, my, women are trash. Girls aren't trash. If they are filled with the Holy Ghost, they're your sister in Christ, as our brother has said many times. But that got beat into our minds so hard that women were lower than men. And they are the lesser creature. But that doesn't mean you walk over top of your wife or your daughters or anybody and make them less than your son or yourself. But we're sent here to serve God and to be like God in all things. But so many times we let past experiences cloud our vision. And may we cry out to God to take us and break us down.
Amen.
Just like Moses, when he left Egypt, he went to the desert and God broke him down and took all that he'd been raised with out of him. And then sent him back down there with a stick.
Amen.
Took Paul to the desert and took everything out of him. And then set him into service to serve him and bring a message.
Amen.
And may God do the same thing for us. Anything that we hold on to, that we've picked up somewhere along the way, that someone said that, I think I agree with that. I think I believe that. I see how that is. Get rid of those ideas.
Amen.
And take it back to the Word. We're here to serve God.
Amen.
And let Him be all in all in our life. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got a little scores on my heart. I was thinking, greater is He that's in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I can't think of how it starts. Hallelujah.
In me, greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew into the upper room.
Precious. Amen. Is there anybody got something on your heart God's done for you just like to tell someone about? Anything at all. Amen. I got a course here. I'm going to look for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, dear Lord. Hallelujah.
This little chorus, we're going to sing it as our brother comes, but page 136 if you need the words, but that the old time power, I just
Amen.
Was thinking of the verses in it.
Hallelujah.
And saints, we need Him more than we've ever
yes.
needed Him.
Amen.
And it's not just about jumping and shouting, but it's about a reality down on the inside.
Amen.
We've had many jumping and shouting services over the years and seen the mighty power of God moving, and that's wonderful, and oh, it's such an enjoyable thing. But you can get to where that's all you can see and that's all you want. And that's what's happened. That's why they brought their music in. They want to see people jump. They want to see, that's all they focus on, is they want to see that moving of the Holy Spirit. That's all they want. They don't want the other half of it. And the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and all them old weeds rejoice just as much when that rain comes.
Amen.
And they actually jump up quite a bit higher than that good grass does real quick. But oh, they ain't got no root in them. And when that old hot sun comes out, you just watch them wither and go away.
Amen.
But oh my, I pray that God will put something down on the inside of us that will burn reality into us. Amen.
They were in an upper chamber. They were all with one accord. When the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by our Lord.
Amen.
And this soul, Lord, is in the power just now. Oh, Lord, is in the power just now. Oh, Lord, is in the power just now. And baptize everyone. Yes, this power.
In that category, I'm a believer. Amen. Amen. Then we all may have it too.
Amen.
Oh, I pray God will set us on fire.
Hallelujah.
With a true burning desire and a hunger down on the inside. It's wonderful to sing and shout and jump. But I pray God will put that fire down on the inside. And it's like that little brook. You can try to put your hand over it. The cares of life can get on top of it and try to hold it down. But that water's just going to keep spurting out of there. You can't hold it back. But may that be the way it is in our life. We may be under the hardest trial, going through the heaviest load, but there's a light shining out of our life. A smile on our face, a joy that we serve a living God. And may we make Him more of a living God. You know, we often have so many things that we cannot. It seems like we don't have the needs that we used to have because of, our brother mentioned it a while back, of if you need something, they'll put it on credit. If you need this, you can get it over here. If you need that, it's over there. Food's plentiful, you know. It ain't like it used to be when people, I was thinking of the gardens, the people harvesting the stuff out of the gardens. You know, it used to be if they didn't get it out of the fact it didn't grow out of that ground, they didn't eat. The storm rotted it out, they went hungry. And they needed God. You know, a lot of times I see that little picture of the farmer kneeling down as he's planting that seed, and I think how it must have used to have been years ago when you just couldn't run to a Walmart and get what you needed. You couldn't go to Aldi's and get a 10-cent can of beans and a package of bologna and maybe make a meal. But they didn't have anything. It was nothing. And how they had to trust God for what they got. And you know, we may see more of those times come before the end of this world. You know, I look at my job. I'm not into politics, but my job is political a lot of times. And you know, I often stop and think, now I'm not questioned, I'm not cornered and have to take a stand too much on how I feel about things. But as the world progresses and things keep going on, it's going to come. And each one of us and what we do, the scripture says you wouldn't be able to buy or sell. And who knows what's going to happen before that time comes. And every one of us, I believe, probably got a mortgage on our home. Every one of us probably got a mortgage on a car. We owe the bank for this, we owe the bank for that. What happens when nobody will let you work for them because you believe a certain thing? Mm-hmm. Where's our money then? Then we're going to need God, but we better get it right now.
before that time comes, because it might be too late then when we truly reach that position. And if we ain't truly got something done on the inside, we'll never hold.
Amen.
We'll cave in and just follow the rest of them. But oh my, may we truly cry out and let God get a hold of us now.
Amen.
Because our home in glory is going to be worth it all one day.
Amen.
Amen. It makes me happy. Amen. To see what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives. And may we press on greater, more for Him than we ever have before. Let's just sing that little chorus. It's worth it all to be His child as our brother comes. Amen.
It's worth it all to be His child.
I just pray we'll all keep on climbing higher and higher in Christ. And any young person wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I pray God will fill you completely to overflowing. Amen. Any of the older people that wants to be,
amen.
I pray God will fill you to the overflowing. Amen. Where your cup is clear full and Jesus Christ can live and express His life through you. Amen. It's worth it all. Oh, it's worth it all to be His child. Serve Him each last long mile. Amen. It's going to all be over with one of these days soon.
Amen.
Amen. Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another service, now again it comes the time, Lord, where we hate to leave, Lord. We hate to part from each other and our brothers and sisters in Christ. That, Lord, we, by the grace of God and through the Holy Ghost, holds us together. And Father, this is our family. This is our real family. And Father, we ask that you just take and put special blessings on each and every one of them. Guide them and lead them by your Spirit this week now, Lord, and until the next service, and if you should tarry. May their life be filled with your sweet Spirit. May you give them guidance and direction by that good old Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Oh God, that it will be their lamp unto their feet. That Lord Jesus, everywhere they step, it will be the light of your Holy Ghost leading them. We ask now that them blessings be upon each one. We ask you to protect us and guide us. Keep us safe, Lord, upon the highways, whichever way we travel, Lord. And Father, may we take the name of Jesus with us wherever we go. May, Lord, you, living through these tabernacles of flesh, take this light and shine it unto the world. Father, it'll be declared to this nation and to this people that you are alive. Grant it, Father. We thank you now for this day. We appreciate it. Again, you've been so good to us. Oh, so good to us. Thank you now. In your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ.